Welcome back to Live in the Messiah's Love. I'm your host, Kamisha Lussier, and my beloved is here. We are so glad to be with you today and to be spending this time in the Word of God with you. We hope that your day has been blessed, and before we get into the Word, we are going to open up in prayer. Well, actually, it's probably really early when you're listening to this, but I hope your day will be blessed.
Amen to that.
Lord, we just thank you for being the highly exalted one, that you are the Lord of all creation. You're the Lord of hosts, and there is no one above you, and there's nothing too hard for you. We place all of our hope and all of our trust and all of our reliance and confidence in the name of Jesus Christ and in your name. And we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for the opportunity to be called by your name. We thank you for you making us kings and priests and your sons and daughters. We love you, Lord, and we appreciate you. We take this opportunity to forgive if we have aught towards anybody else, if we've kept note in our heart and tally marks on who's wronged us and how many times. Lord, we just take the opportunity to lay that down at your feet, and we ask you to forgive us, Lord, and we forgive them and ask you to forgive them, and we release them from any obligation to us. And we thank you, Lord, that you are our source and that your grace is sufficient. Lord, and also we take the opportunity to cast all of our cares on you. Whatever has been on our minds, whatever petitions that we desire, we thank you that we know that you hear us and we cast our cares on you. And we love you and we appreciate all that you've done for us. Give us this day our daily bread, Lord, and help us to walk in the absolute freedom and joy and deliverance that you have already provided for us in the highly exalted name of Jesus Christ. We love you, God, and we remind the adversary in the almighty name of Jesus that you're already bound and you are already and forever cast out in the almighty name of Jesus. And we just thank you, Lord, for your sovereignty and your sufficiency. And we thank you for the joy, the hope, the faith, and the love and the compassion that you provide to us. In Jesus' almighty name we pray. Amen.
And amen.
Amen, amen. So hope your day's been blessed, or if you're listening to this super early in the morning, we are believing God that you will have a delightful day as you continue to walk with him. My love, did you have something you wanted to share?
No, I want to let each of the listeners know we are continuing this. I'll say this is the second episode of examining the source of power. Remember, amen, the source of power is Jesus and his name, that mm-hmm. he has given us authority or power of attorney to utilize here on the earth.
Amen. And thank you for that, sweetheart. So the title of this episode is Connecting with the Source of Power.
Amen to that.
Thank you so much, darling. So we, as you reminded us, we have already established that it is God doing the work. And particularly, it's the name of Jesus Christ that does the work. I know oftentimes as humans, we think, I did this. I did that. I healed them. I saved them. I delivered them. And the reality is that we are just the vessel. We're not the source.
Amen to that.
Amen.
So you hear us often in this ministry say, whether it's talking about whoever wrote the scripture, might be the Apostle Paul, or whoever. We usually say something to the effect of the Lord through his servant or his apostle or prophet in their name said these things to his people.
Amen.
Because they are the conduit or the vessel with which they were used. Now, we are, as you said, and even in the prayer, honey, kings and priests to the Lord our God, right? And or in his kingdom. We are a kingdom of kings and priests. So let's not forget that we are and should be vessels of honor. But the Lord can utilize whatever he desires as his vessel.
Amen.
Remember, he used a donkey with Balaam to minister to Balaam. The donkey itself had no power or authority with which to speak if the donkey wanted to. So in other words, it was the Lord speaking in and through that donkey as a vessel.
Amen.
How much more honor or of honorable use should we be as the Lord's body
Amen.
For his purposes on earth and in the heavens?
Amen. And also we should maintain a standard of humility.
Amen to that.
and not make ourselves out to be more important in the scenario than we actually are.
Than we actually are, exactly.
The important one is Christ, and he loves us and has bestowed his love upon us and willingly shares his the reward that he's won as an heir, as the heir of God, and we are joint heirs with him by his welcome invitation. But by no means are we the winners of that invitation because of our own valor.
Amen to that.
All right. So the Lord is working through us. So when you look at, we're looking at our text, the book we're using, The Name of Jesus by Kenneth E. Hagin. We're going to be starting on page 2, and we'll probably take a look at through page 6 or 7 today as well. When you look at this section, it talks about the name of Jesus and using it in two particular ways. One is in prayer and the other is in spiritual combat. That's on page 2 and on page 5. Now, that's what we're doing here, right? We are becoming warriors of God and we are in basic training. And then we also understand that prayer is the primary way that we engage in spiritual warfare and using the weapons that the Lord gave us. So we're going to take a look at that as we go through this section. And I want you to also get in the habit, if you are not already in this habit, that when you read any text, that's an additional text, it's not the Bible itself, and a scripture is listed, take the opportunity to go look the word up. Go Amen. Look the scriptures up yourself and compare with what's written. I have firm confidence in Brother Kenneth E. Hagin's, he's gone on to be with the Lord, but while he was here on the earth, his love for the Lord and his accuracy in reporting the word of God, I'm confident in that. However, he's not God, and the devil is a liar. So it's when you have trusted sources, you might get away with lax behavior, but not every source is a trusted source. Not every vessel is accurate, or there could be typos or things of that nature.
Well, even the Apostle Paul says, "Follow me as I follow Christ." So again, you are a king and a priest in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior. And Proverbs 25, it tells us, is to the glory of kings to search out a matter. Amen. So how much more, if it's on something trivial, should we spend time to go search it out, to research it and understand that we have it? How much more so should we be doing that for the word of the Lord?
Amen. And 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, Amen. Rightly dividing the word of truth." So we're spending great time and laying the word of truth.
So it can be written on the tablet of your heart.
Amen to that. And it's important that you become consistent in how you approach the things of God and not waiting or hoping or relying on someone else to be consistent so that you could say, "Oops, I thought they knew better." Nope, you're accountable, especially if you want to be an elite warrior. You're accountable for verifying your commander's orders. And the word of God is just that. So take the time to look the scriptures up and look every one of them up. Take the opportunity and build that within yourself so that you know to do that. That's something that both John and I practice. And we also teach our kids that because Amen. It's important. And I assure you, with the reputation that Brother Hagin had in here in the earth, he would not be offended by that. So no. We put our unlimited trust in Jesus Christ alone.
Only.
Amen. And we understand when we hear his word being spoken, but take the opportunity to read the word yourself. Mm-hmm. Also, when you see the word of God and you see that the Lord has laid out an instruction, a precept, a principle to you, that should settle it for you in your heart. Sometimes we get in the habit of going, "Well, I don't know anybody who's done this yet, so I don't know if this is the case." And I want to tell you, just like the Lord told me, the cheese stands alone.
Amen to that.
They took that from the grade school song, which goes through a variety of different people that come and go throughout the song. But at the end of it, the cheese is what remains. And the word of God is the cheese. The word of God is true because God said it, not because someone else did it, not because someone else experienced it, not because someone else believed it. It's the Word of God is truth because it's truth. Now, as we read the Word of God, we should also understand there are times where it's God speaking and he's giving us a precept or a concept or instructions. And that's different than an account of where someone else says something about God. Mm-hmm. Now, it may be true that they said those words, but those words may not be true about God. So we have to, like 2 Timothy tells us, rightly divide the word of truth. For example, we see in John 16:24, where it talks about the name of Jesus in prayer. That's an instruction. That's a precept. The Lord was transitioning them from praying the way they had been taught to pray mm-hmm. to praying in the authorized name, the name of Jesus Christ. The keys belong to him. Exactly. The valor was won by him. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto the Father except through him. So he was telling them, here is the way that you go about doing this. And for us, as we're looking, being able to rightly understand the differences, and also to let it be established when our Lord speaks, giving instruction and concepts and precepts and things of that nature, that we let that be established in our heart. So, and another an example of someone saying something about God. Yes, it's reported in the Bible that they said it. It's true that they said it mm-hmm. because the Bible is not a book of lies, but people have been reported saying things about God that were not true in the Bible. For example, the story about King Hezekiah, and he was under siege and attack by an adversary, an adversarial King Sennacherib. And Sennacherib sent messengers. Right.
Well, Sennacherib was one of the messengers for, and the Rabshakeh, for the king of Assyria.
Okay.
But yes, Sennacherib, ultimately from Assyria. Okay. Absolutely. And said lots of different things against Hezekiah, but against the Lord mm-hmm. in what he was saying concerning Hezekiah and the people of Judah and Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. But yet and still, if you study that out, you will find what the Lord said was true.
Right. So in this account, these people that were coming from Assyria said, you can't trust in God. He's not able to deliver you. Mm-hmm. Well, it's true that those words came out of those people's mouths, but those words are not truth about God. Right.
And the fruit was definitely shown and demonstrated. The power of the Lord was shown and demonstrated by the end of that.
Amen. And the scripture says, let God be true and every man a liar.
Exactly.
So that's just an example of the difference between a report of what someone else said, but they were not telling the truth of what they were accounting towards God. Mm-hmm. And seeing that, and the difference between when God speaks a precept and a command to us.
And we go three other examples on it's the Lord and his word that establishes something. Right in the beginning in Genesis, in the creation. Mm-hmm. And the Lord said, let there be light.
Amen.
And there was light.
Amen.
It wasn't anyone else's word. It wasn't, mm-hmm. right? It was the Lord's word that established it. Okay. Right. So right from the beginning. Then what about the covenant? We'll start with Abraham, but it was the Lord's word that established it. And then he swore by two immutable things. Mm-hmm. So there it was again. And then I'll give you the third example, since you brought up about, well, I've never seen or heard anyone do this yet.
Oh,
and John the Baptist. So John came baptizing. Mm-hmm. Well, where did he receive those instructions? From the Lord. Mm-hmm. He was following the command of the Lord. No one else had done it in that manner before, mm-hmm. but yet here he was being obedient to the Lord mm-hmm. because the Lord had established something.
Because the cheese stands alone.
Amen to that.
The word of God is the cheese. Okay. Looking here on page 2, John chapter 16, verse 24, Brother Hagin uses the King James Version, and I'll just look at it in the New King James. It says, until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive that your joy may be full. So in this section, the Lord is telling them to transition to putting their trust and their hope in his name as the key to approach the Father. And then the next, on page 3, the next verse that's referenced is the one preceding it. And in that day, is that right? Verse 16:23.
Yes, okay. That's correct.
And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. And then it goes back into 24. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Mm-hmm. So, back to the book here says, notice what Jesus is saying. You ask the Father in my name, and I will endorse it. The name and the Father will give it to you. So, Jesus is the one who's won access. And when we come through the name of Jesus, that gives us access to the Father, because he said, no one comes into the Father except through me. So what we as the warriors of God also need to understand in this section, he did mention about praying, if it be the will of God, kind of prayers. And those are prayers of uncertainty. But as God's warriors, we have an obligation to find out what the will of the what the will of our head is, what the will of Christ is, right? And the will of the Father, because the Father placed his will in Christ, and the Holy Spirit ministers to us what the will of the Father through Christ is. Mm-hmm. And it's our duty to go and converse with him to find out what is his will. We talked about that in the previous episode.
Absolutely.
Bring everything before the Lord.
Let it all pass by before him, or hold it up before him.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever he says about it, as concerning what to say and what to do, that's what we are supposed to say and do, which is exactly what the Apostle John talks about in 1 John 5:14, where he says, and this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So finding out what his will is concerning, which means you have to let it pass by before him,
mm-hmm.
and then saying, all right, Lord, what do you want me to say and do? Mm-hmm. So he's going to tell you what to ask him for, and then you ask him, wait, with the power of attorney you've been given, which is to utilize the name of Jesus, mm-hmm. and he'll not only hear you, but it is done.
Amen. So if you can visualize this, you take the time to find out what the will of the Lord is, right? That by conversing with him, communing with him, fellowshipping with him, and then you take that, the
instructions, the guidance.
Right. What the Lord said is his will, and what his perspective is on that situation, then you go boldly to the Father, to the throne of grace, to let your petitions be heard and made known.
Because the Lord is not, does not move according to our words,
mm-hmm.
right? Just like we were talking about the chain of command and the structure,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The angels, like we are supposed to be like, or mm-hmm. we're supposed to be like our Heavenly Father. I understand that. And what I'm saying is, they only move, and we are only supposed to move according to the word of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
God's warriors only do the Lord's will.
Amen.
To the exclusivity of the mm-hmm. Lord's will, mm-hmm. not their own, just mm-hmm. like Jesus says, I do nothing in the Holy Spirit, right? They both say the same thing. I do nothing of my own initiative.
Mm-hmm.
Only as the Father commands do I say or do I speak. Or as it pertains to the Holy Spirit, as he take from the Father and discloses it to us.
Amen.
So we're to operate in the same manner with the same heart and mindset.
Amen. So this paragraph in the middle of page 3, where it references, it says, we added something else to it. We have said God will, if it is his will, but it might not be his will. And what he's talking about, and I'll just finish out the paragraph. It says, you don't find that kind of talk in the New Testament. People have gone along without answers to prayer, saying it must not have been his will because he didn't do it. If it had been his will, he would have done it. Now, let's hear the fullness of what the Holy Spirit is trying to say. The Brother Hagin here is referencing people who have not taking the time to ask God what his will is,
exactly.
not taking the time to read the scriptures. They're just thinking God's sovereign. He'll do whatever he wants. But we've already taken the time to learn that he gave particular authorities to us.
Amen.
And just like salvation, he placed it there for everyone, and he wants everyone to have it. But yet he's not going to force it on everyone, because that would violate his word, his spiritual laws and ordinances that he's already set in place, and he's not going to do that. So there's a difference between taking this kind of weak, unfaithful perspective towards the Lord and taking the time to ask God, what he said. So I can't take the word of God and use it as a means or a vehicle to just get what I want. And use the force of heaven to fulfill Kamesha's will in the earth. That does not work. That is not how the kingdom of God operates. So as you're studying the word of God, take and keep, and we're going through this particular book, take the counsel, the wisdom, and the enlightenment of understanding that the Lord has already provided us, and distinguish the difference between these two kind of topics.
So we're teaching you, or the Lord is teaching you through us, how to have fervent, effective prayers that avail or accomplish much, right?
Amen.
And this is how you must go about it. If you want Christ-like results, you need to approach this the same way Christ did, which is also what James is saying in the book of James 5:15, right? When he says, if any one among you sick, right? Or verse 14, he says, if any among you sick, bring him before the elders, and they'll pray over him and anoint him in the name of the Lord. And then in verse 15, here's the key, and the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who's sick. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. So what is the prayer of faith? It is simply what we just described, holding it up before the Lord. Lord, what is your will? What do you want me to say and do? What do I ask you for? And then asking the Lord for that, those saying those exact words back to the Lord, asking him in his name to do it. That is the prayer of faith. Mm-hmm. And that will yield the Christ-like results.
Amen. Faith begins where the will of God is known. And how do you ask? How do you know the will of God unless you study the Word of God and ask him for guidance and counsel? We've even, how we articulate it, bring it before God, pass Amen. It by him to see what he will call it. We've taken the perspective to try to rush past Jesus and the Holy Spirit to get up to God, to let him know our wish list, our list of demands, and expected him to meet it. And we've been disappointed when it's hit or miss at best, because we've prayed a whole lot of things that are fleshly and carnal prayers that have nothing to do with the will of God. He always intended that Christ would not be cut out of it. He said for a reason that Christ is the head.
And the way, the truth, the life, he is the door, he is the gate. I mean, he is all those things.
He's all of those things. You must go or come through. And he is the one who instructs, who sets the course for his body. Right. And we see that even demonstrated in natural. The head sets the course for the rest of your body. Your legs don't set the course.
The commander of the army sets the course for the army. In this case, it's Jesus, the Christ, the private, the whatever the rank is, does not get to dictate the course that the army is going to travel in and follow.
Amen. So we should make it our business and our habit to, anytime you have a need, a request, a question, whatever it is, even when it comes to laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover, all of that, you come to Christ with it first. Holy Spirit, what do I do? And that's how you approach him. Lord, what do I do? And then listen for his response and his answer, and then go and do that. Because Christ said, I don't do anything unless the Father tells me or shows me to do this. And that's the Messiah saying that, God himself saying that. Then who are we to go, I think I'll just do it this way? Victory comes when we respect the divine order and we know how to operate in the divine order, and we're fluent in that. So we're going to look over on page 4. This is the first paragraph up at the top, where it talks about respecting another person's will. Even though God has said, lay hands on the sick, if they don't want you to lay hands on them, don't. Mm-hmm. They're not going to receive anything because it's not what they want. And we've talked about that in various ways and capacities. If something is your friend, if sickness is your friend, God's not going to take it away from you. And that applies to our own personal lives, but also understanding how others relate to God. Amen. If they can say with their mouth, yeah, I want healing, but in their heart, they have no desire for it.
If you can pray for them. If sickness is their friend, then the Lord is not obligated to remove it from them.
Amen. You can take it. You can pray for them till you're blue in the face. And if they don't want to be healed, or have, and they don't have faith to be healed by God like that, they won't they won't receive it. And God does not want us trying to push our faith off on other people. He doesn't want us also trying to dictate how someone else is going to receive their healing. If you look at Christ's example, he did something different with the people that we see healed in the scriptures. He didn't just have a one trick process. He didn't just keep doing the same thing over and over, except to ask the Father what he said about it. Because sometimes, even though you may see sickness presenting in five people and they've all got the same quote unquote disease, they have it for different reasons, and mm-hmm. they need a different action and different the power of God to touch them in a different way than their neighbor. And so we can't see that by looking at it with our natural eyes. We have to rely on the one who sees all, who knows all, and the source of power to be able to effectively enact that.
And I'll say this, the Lord can do whatever he wants, and he can utilize you, his vessel, however he desires. Sometimes it may be for each individual person to go lay hands on them, to go say a specific word to each one of them.
Whatever.
And then
the
there
process
are other
is.
Times where the Lord just says, no, as Wigglesworth would say it, we're going to do wholesale or retail tonight. All right, in other words, is it going to be a mass group healing mm-hmm. and the Holy Spirit is just going to minister to each one as he wills? Mm-hmm. And you just say one prayer, or is it going to be pray for each individual one? Mm-hmm. The retail aspect is uh-huh. how Wigglesworth would phrase that, mm-hmm. right? But I bring this up because, well, we can only do those things as the Lord leads us. And in order to lead us, we have to ask him what his will is and how he wants to move and work in and through us.
Amen. And I'll tell you, when I learned that changed my prayer life, because I got Amen. So frustrated with, why is this not working, Lord? I did everything that they told me to do. They did all the things that I heard in the messages. I did all those things, and yet I don't have good results. And the Lord was like, you didn't ask me. You did what you thought you heard people saying, but you did not act in understanding, which is when he taught me about bring it before me, before the Lord, and let it pass by him. And whatever he says to you, trust he's telling you the truth, and then go obey it. And then the power of God shows up.
Demonstrating the faith.
Amen. And the power of God shows up to confirm his word.
Amen to that.
And my word gets confirmed when I line my words up to say only what his word has already said.
Amen to that.
And that's not just finding Bible verses and doing a, you know, a barrage of Bible verses to try to see which one is going to work out. Even when Christ faced the adversary being tempted after he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he didn't just start picking out a barrage of scriptures and throwing every scripture at the devil that had the key word of worship in it or the key word of bread in it. He didn't just find them all, look them up online, and start calling them out until he got one that worked. No, he listened to the Holy Spirit. He went that constant internal communication and internal voice speaking on the inside of him, and he listened to what Holy Spirit said. Here's the ticket. This one is the answer. Speak this word. And that got the job done.
That is the word he used. But also, if you look throughout his ministry, his earthly ministry, Christ always ministered to their spirit, soul, and body with the one word or the one action that he was prompted to say.
Amen. It was always a thorough work
exactly.
when God does it. And it's not a question. There's no doubt about it. It's solid. And it always, always, always works. The word of God always works. So
it goes forth and accomplishes all his plans and his purposes.
His good pleasure.
Does not return void.
Amen. His word does not return Amen. To him or us void when we put it in our mouth and we use it the right way that he told us to. So in connecting with the power, here's some key things that I want you to take away from this, from what we've covered so far. No fear. There should be no fear in you. First John tells us that he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And that really just means you don't know and understand yet who your God is and how he feels about you. And you don't know yet what the name of Jesus Christ is worth and what the love of God will do in your life. So if you're feeling uncertain about things, if you're feeling afraid, if you are worrying, you need to spend time thanking the Lord for what he's already done and spend time renewing your mind. Now that's a good time to look up the scriptures about having confidence in God
Absolutely.
And his provision.
Right? So that but way there is no doubting.
Amen.
Because if there's any doubting, mm-hmm. then we should not expect to have the thing we ask for.
Amen.
Because a doubting person is unstable in all their ways.
Glory to God. And so here's the difference. Here's the difference between that. When it comes to fighting the adversary and engaging in spiritual warfare, you don't need to barrage and, you know, use an automatic weapon of scriptures. Unless that's what God is telling you to do. But when you're renewing your mind, get in the Word. Spend time washing your mind in the water of the Word. And listen to the Holy Spirit. So you see, there's a time and a place for looking through the Word of God and finding the scriptures mm-hmm. that apply to the way your mind is operating and functioning so that you can build your confidence in the Lord. And that's different than engaging in spiritual warfare and going, let me try this, let me try that, let me try this, let me try that. That person is ineffective, right? And when you misuse or misapply the tools in the wrong situation, that also renders you ineffective.
And right now in this episode, we've primarily focused on prayer. We've not so much gotten to the, while there are parts of this, much of it also applies to spiritual warfare or the combat portion. But anytime any unit is going to conduct a mission, an operation, engage in combat or warfare, there's not 10 plans that they're trying to enact. Mm-hmm. There is one. And they are committed to that plan because that's what's been discussed. That is what they are now executing. Mm-hmm. And it is no different in the spiritual realm. But that plan cannot come from us. It has to come from the Lord, which is why even in the Old Testament, we are told by David, who was a tactician in the Psalms, bring your plans before the Lord.
Amen, which is something that he practiced as well. So just to go over these 4 points, no fear, have confidence in the name of Jesus. You cannot use the name as a means to commit sin. And the Holy Spirit is the muscle behind the name of Jesus. So when we talk about all the power that's in the name of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit is the one who's backing it. All the power of God is backing the name of Jesus Christ. So as we connect with him through confidence, understanding, boldness, and proper placing of the things of God, we keep in mind that who is the source of power and how much power is backing him. And when we approach the Father, God always wanted us to go, Christ, let me converse with you about this first, then petition, come boldly to the throne of grace. Don't skip the first step of conversing with Christ first, right? And he converses and ministers to us through the Holy Spirit. So you can say, Lord, what do you say about this? And Holy Spirit, what do you say about this? And the Lord knows, and he'll teach you actually how to distinguish between speaking with the Lord and Savior, speaking with the Holy Spirit, and speaking directly to the Father. So we're going to pick this up on the next episode. Take some time to meditate on the Word. And again, with all of these episodes that we're doing, all of these lessons, some of these things are going to take more than one time of hearing it for it to get down in your heart. And as you're studying through the text that we're reading, The Name of Jesus by Kenneth E. Hagin, make sure that you're keeping your grounding in the Bible, the Word Amen. Of God, that you're looking these scriptures up. Make sure that you've already set your heart that when you read instruction and counsel in the Word of God, or when the Lord speaks truth to you, you believe it. And I say speaks truth to you because he only speaks truth. So when the Lord commands you, and he also, when he lays out a precept and a concept to you, establish it in your heart as fact. Whether you know anybody else who thinks it or says it like that or has done this before or not, because he's your God. And if anywhere you are off kilter, he'll bring you back into right alignment. But your faith needs to be, yes, God, here I am. You said it. The cheese stands alone. I believe it. And that settles it for me. And that will give you the confidence to receive more and more and more from God and to have your prayers answered every time you pray. Not releasing frivolous or worthless prayers, but accurate, confident, bold prayers that always get that yes answer. Well, thanks for spending this time for us. We'll be looking out to meet with you again on the next episode. We're so grateful for this time and to be a part of your walk with Jesus Christ. And we just want to encourage you to remember to live your life in the Messiah's love. God bless you.
Want to know more about a day of prayer?
Sign up for our newsletter where you'll get the latest updates on the ministry, inspiring messages, and coupon codes for the merch shop.
Visit our website, adayofprayer.org.
Click on Connect in the menu bar and complete the form.
be sure to check the box that says subscribe.